Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The State of Recruiting is brought to you by 24/7 Sports and the Horns 24/7 Network of Podcasts. If you like the show, please subscribe, rate, and review on the podcast platform of your choice. We also invite you to listen to the other great shows on the Horns 24/7 Network, including The Flagship with Taylor Estes and Chip Brown, and The Longhorn Blitz with Jeff Howe and Rod Babers. Thanks for listening. Now on to the show. Welcome back to this week's episode of The State of Recruiting, your weekly Horns 24/7 recruiting podcast. I'm Mike Roach, and I'm joined as always by Nick Harris. And we got a big show for you tonight. We're going to talk about a lot. But before we get into that, Nick, how's it going?
It's going pretty good. Can't complain. What's crazy is after this week, some of the half of the high schools around the state will already be halfway through their season.
Don't say that. I knew you were going to say
it. Isn't that crazy, though?
That is. It makes me so sad thinking about it, though. It feels like we just started, and now we're like at the halfway point. I mean, it's halfway of the regular season. There's still another half season after that of playoffs and all sorts of fun. So, but yeah, don't say that. That makes me sad, Nick.
It seems like every year the first 5 weeks fly by.
Yeah.
Last 11 weeks take years.
Yeah, I would say so. All right, well, let's jump right into it. It's been a busy day here on Wednesday as we're recording this. I feel like I've been breaking news the last 2 days on like visitors and stuff like that. And there is a big game coming up this weekend with Texas Tech. Before we get into that, little development that happened this afternoon before we got on the podcast, and I kind of just want to lay it out and explain it long form in audio mode, kind of better than I can in word mode. But if you've been reading the site, you know, we've been alluding to the fact that we thought Jalen Gilbo would end up back in this class pretty easily, especially lately. I would say the last 3 or 4 weeks, like that noise has intensified a lot from a lot of different places. We weren't just hearing it from one specific place. And so, you know, we've kind of, we were bullish on it. I had never changed my crystal ball, so I just kind of left mine in. Nick, you put a new one back in for Texas this week, and it seems like your luck and our luck in general, developments came right after that went against it. And so, in checking with a source near Gilbo tonight, you know, it did sound like Texas was the school that, you know, was kind of in the lead for him at that point. And man, I don't know what happened, but I was told he had a conversation over the weekend with some people close to him and kind of changed course. And it sounds like now TCU is in the driver's seat for that recruitment. Kind of a crazy turn of events, but not that out there when it comes to, you know, what we've seen so far this year. It's tough. It's part of why I hate the crystal ball thing sometimes, because, you know, we went where all the noise was. And I feel like on this one, again, it was just one of those things where, like, sometimes kids like to go against what everybody's saying. And I don't know if that's necessarily the case with Jalen, but if you match up everything we heard, who we were hearing it from, all those sorts of things, you know, Texas definitely made sense. And so for it to flip so suddenly, I think is kind of a crazy development.
Yeah, absolutely. We can kind of start with the TCU, you know, noise that we heard well before he decommitted. You know, before he decommitted, I think TCU was probably the biggest concern. And I had flipped my crystal ball as soon as he decommitted to the Horned Frogs. You know, he's built a really good relationship out there with the corners coach, as well as Gary Patterson, and specifically Travius Hodges Tomlinson. You know, that's a kid that went in and, you know, earned his spot and has, you know, become a really high upside player for TCU, and could possibly be a high round draft pick in next year's draft. And, you know, if you look past in the past decade or so, TCU has been doing a really good job of getting corners out into the draft. You could point to Jason Verrett as far back as, you know, 8 years ago, or, you know, even closer to now. So, you know, Gilbo has definitely been sold on that fact. And, you know, I think TCU is, you know, still for sure a contender in this one. And as it looks right now, they could probably land him here pretty soon if they could shut the door.
Yeah. And I, you know, this has kind of been, it was funny because somebody said, you know, our guys have been missing all year on these things. I think we've had our fair share of misses this year. I think we've been dead on with everything about Gilbo up until this point. You know, I mean, we were, even going back to his commitment, he was the guy I had pegged committing earliest in that class. You know, he was, I think, the guy that, you know, we covered every time that we thought there was going to be a decommitment, and up until the final point when there was a decommitment, you know, we talked about it all. And, you know, we talked about the TCU push at the time. So, you know, all we could do in those situations is really follow what the sourcing says and, you know, hope we have good sourcing. And I think we did in this case. I think it's just something that changed. So that's where that is. And, you know, eventually that's going to go, if it does happen for TCU, that'll go down as a flip. A couple of, you know, Texas is trying to do a couple of flips of their own. And I wrote about this a little bit in Mike at Night on Wednesday, but there's some interesting stuff going on with Terrence Brooks, the Little Elm corner, who is committed to Ohio State. Nick, I'm calling an audible here. We didn't talk about this pre-show, but I thought about it and thought this is something we should probably address. I'm not ready to the point where I'm like waving the flag and saying like he's on flip watch, but I think the contact between Brooks and Texas has increased a little bit from what I've heard. In talking to some people close to the family, I think they are open to Texas, and I think that what makes them open to Texas is when you look at the situation at Ohio State with them stripping Kerry Coombs of his play calling duties and obviously making some changes there. Kerry Coombs is Terrence Brooks' lead recruiter at the moment. And so if there's a change there, I think that could upset some things. But I also think that Terrence always liked Texas for a myriad of reasons. And a lot of those reasons were early playing time, which would be available to him, a good education, which would be available to him. And the ability to play in the SEC now is now on the table, and the ability to stay close to home. So I think that Texas has now become a lot more of a favorable look for Terrence Brooks. I'm not ready to say it's going to happen or I'm putting in a pick or anything like that, but it is something to keep an eye on. I think that, you know, for Texas, if they miss on Gilbo and get Terrence Cooks, or I'm sorry, not Terrence Brooks, I think that's kind of like missing on, it's almost like missing on De'Anthony Gadsden and getting Jamarion Miller.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it would make the sting of missing out on Gilbo and, you know, possibly missing out on Denver Harris, you know, it make it a little bit easier. I think Terrence Brooks is, you know, he's a high four star, and I still feel like a little bit he's a little undervalued just because every time I've seen him in a camp setting or in person, he's locking down the competition. I remember probably one of the most fun times I had this spring was seeing him and Evan Stewart go at it at the Under Armour camp here in Dallas, and that was just a ton of fun. And Terrence Brooks definitely held his own against, you know, possibly the best receiver to ever come out of the state of Texas, if we look at it, you know, 5 years from now. But, you know, Terrence Brooks and Texas, you know, if you go back to right before he committed to Ohio State, that was definitely one of the schools that was on the table. You know, you could arguably say that Texas has finished, you know, second or third in that recruitment, you know, at the point of his commitment. So we'll see moving forward how much that, you know, communication increases. And if he gets on campus, I think that's going to be a really big first indicator.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's jump into the Tech game coming up this weekend. Some big visitors coming in, and we'll start with the official visitor, Lander Barton, the linebacker from Salt Lake City, the Brighton High School. I think this is one of the bigger defensive targets left on the board, and he's a guy that's not getting talked about a ton, but is a guy who is highly ranked. He would be a great addition to this class, and I think would really fill out what Jeff Choate's trying to do at the linebacker position nicely. He's, you know, he does, Nick, he plays both ways. You brought up the other day, I think he had some insane stat line that, you know, playing offense and defense for Brighton. Texas is in this one very much so. I mean, I think it comes down to Texas, Utah, Michigan's in there a little bit. I think maybe, you know, those couple schools. But we'll see kind of where things are coming out of the weekend. I think that Texas has a lot of advantages. Barton has told me on the phone that he's a Cowboy at heart. And so, like, I don't know what he thinks Austin is. He said he's excited to see Texas because he's a Cowboy. I'm not sure he's going to get that experience in Austin, but, you know, we'll kind of see how it plays out.
Yeah, for sure. I wanted to go ahead and bring up that stat line. This is from a couple of weeks ago. I believe it was in their third game of the season. On offense, he had 6 receptions for 91 yards and 1 touchdown. And on defense, he had 18 total tackles, including 1 sack. So, you know, a really, you know, high-end athlete who can get it done on both sides of the ball. Obviously, his projections on at linebacker at the college level. But, you know, this is definitely a big-time official visitor coming in. He's highly ranked. He's a 4-star guy that, you know, if he was in Texas, I feel like we'd get a lot more, you know, attention from fans and whatnot. So, you know, fans should definitely be peeled to this and, you know, curious to see how it comes out on the other side.
Aside from him, as we reported this week, Malik Murphy is coming in. He's coming with Danny Hernandez, his quarterback trainer, who is also bringing Julian Sayin. Julian Sayin is Texas' only quarterback offer in the 2024 class so far. A guy from Carlsbad, California, who has a lot of our West Coast guys really excited about his upside. He made our initial top 100 list, and I think is like in the top 20 or so of that group. So a really big time arm, a guy Texas is really excited about getting on campus and seeing what they could do something with. And so Julian Sayin coming in is going to be a big moment for Texas, and a kid who said he's grown up a Texas fan. Nick, I can't recall. Did you get to see Sayin? You went to like a Danny training thing, and I don't know if you saw Julian while you were there or not.
No, I did not, but I'm going to try to when I'm out there next week.
Okay, so we'll see kind of what Julian has to say there. But obviously, you know, I think Malik Murphy's a bit of a mentor to him. So that's going to, you know, do well for Texas. And I think that's a big one. The other big one coming from out west is a 5-star defensive end edge rusher from St. John Bosco. It is Mateo Uiagalelei. If the name sounds familiar, it's because he is Clemson quarterback DJ Uiagalelei's little brother. And he did tell me when I was out in California a couple weeks ago that he did definitely want to visit Texas. He's coming in with a big group of kids from Bosco, including Jaleel McClain, who got a Texas offer this summer, and some other guys they want to look at. I think, you know, we'll kind of see where it goes. I don't want to downplay having a 5-star like him on campus. This is certainly not an indication that Texas is the leader or anything in this recruitment. It's always good to get one of those guys on campus and kind of see just how it goes from there.
Yeah, for sure. You know, this is a big time, you know, West Coast staff. They proved it, you know, early on, and, you know, getting a solid group from a solid institution like Bosco, I think is big time. You know, just to kind of open that pipeline and, you know, see which recruits are really interested. And, you know, there's been a lot of buzz from, you know, West Coast recruits, even though we haven't really seen the level of commits yet. Correct me if I'm wrong, Malik is still the only one from California. I feel like I'm blanking on something.
Owen Carey,
for sure. You know, the two commits maybe seem a little underwhelming at this point, but if you factor in all of the buzz that's coming in from, you know, the rest of the 22 targets and the 23 targets and going forward to 24 with Julian Sayin and whatnot, you know, I think there's still, you know, a lot of potential for, you know, West Coast ties with the staff. So, you know, I'm very interested to see who they bring on campus and how it turns out.
Nick, they're also bringing on a couple of guys, or, you know, a few guys that you've been documenting throughout the week who are unoffered, but guys I think you've seen it and have been impressed with.
Yeah, for sure. You know, throughout the season, Texas has been pretty much giving out game invites to just about any recruit. Like, if you play high school football in the state of Texas, you can probably get a game invite. I've seen some wild game invites that, you know, probably would have no shot at getting an offer. However, this weekend, there's a few that are really interesting to me that I think, you know, maybe down the line could definitely get offered. This would probably be the first or second time that the staff is going to be able to lay eyes on these guys. Just a few that kind of jumped out to me. Lavernia 2023 offensive lineman Barrett Edelman. You know, there hasn't been a ton of offers handed out in the 23 class on the offensive line so far. In fact, just last week, Texas offered Jaden Chapman from Harker Heights, who we'll get into a little bit later. You know, that was the first offer that Texas sent out in the I'm sorry, Guy Frazier is FaceTiming me right now. He knows we're on the podcast. I just told him. That was Jaden Chapman's first offer. He got Baylor the day after. So this is a kid that Barrett Edelman that I think Texas possibly could offer down the line. Definitely want to keep an eye on. He has Baylor, Houston, and UTSA so far. Another one, Austin Westlake, 2023 quarterback, Marcin Monsivais. I believe that's how you pronounce it. He's the backup for Cade Klubnik, so obviously he hasn't got a ton of time. But I'm sure, you know, this is a kid that will probably start next year, and Texas will keep their eye on it as far as 2023 quarterbacks. And the last name I'll mention is Lake Belton, 2023 athlete, Javion Wilcox. At State 7-on-7, I went over to the Lake Belton tent to check out Micah Hudson, the 2024 wide receiver at Lake Belton. And another kid that really stood out to me was Javion Wilcox. He has zero offers right now, but, you know, he's really physically built. He looks really good. I think he could play on either side of the ball right now at receiver or safety. So he'll be coming in as well. So, you know, I'm excited to see how that turns out. And also one more 2024 quarterback, JC Evans from San Antonio Brandeis. This is a kid that I've heard a lot about out of the San Antonio area. He's already standing at 6'4", 190 pounds. And, you know, 2024 quarterback class is getting a little crowded right now. But, you know, this is definitely a name to keep an eye on, especially with him coming to Texas this weekend.
So we're working out some things for our next segment of having maybe a guest host, as you mentioned, Guy, and I'm sending him a link so he could hop into this Zoom and maybe join us. So I didn't listen to you all the way through there, but wasn't there a kid you had seen from Aldean who is also invited? I don't think I heard you say his name.
Yes, absolutely. Corey Huff, 2023 DB from Aldean Nimitz. This is a kid I saw a few weeks ago who I really liked, really, really physical. You know, has really good instincts. He wasn't playing the best offense in the state. He was playing Katy Mae Creek, but, you know, he did just about everything you would want to see. He definitely jumped out to me. He was somebody I did not know about going in, and I knew about coming out. So, you know, that's someone I'm definitely keeping an eye on. I think that's somebody who could start to generate some buzz here pretty soon.
We hope you're enjoying this week's episode of The State of Recruiting. We'll be back with the second half after a word from our sponsors.
The wait is over. The Chi returns with new episodes on Paramount Plus.
What brings you to the Chi?
Opportunity.
Everybody get down! Walk right up to
the side. A new rain is coming to the South Side.
Never should have sent a boy to do a woman's job.
The Chi. New episodes May 10th. Visit ParamountPlus.com/The Chi to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. Subscription auto renews. Restrictions apply.
New CBS Sunday.
You collect rewards, right?
This is how I make my living.
When something is lost,
everyone's looking for something.
He finds it.
You strong swimmer?
So-so.
So-so. So-so's okay.
Justin Hartley stars.
How you survive, you make quick, smart decisions, and you never let panic take the wheel.
Sounds cool.
It is cool, actually. Very cool.
Tracker. New Sunday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Okay, so there's Guy. He's joining us now. Perfect timing. He's on the iPhone because I think he's out to dinner. This is going to be a new feature. We've done our high school game picks every week, and it's been argued about because I've always said that Nick kind of tilts everything to the teams he's seen and. I think our solution is to let Guy pick the game. So joining us now is the great Guy Frazier. He wants to be Baylor Fraz, I think is what he wants us to to refer to him as. It's kind of his version of Sanford Steve. So take it away, Guy. Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Thanks for letting me jump on. I know we did this once or twice last year, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think we do this every week this year. This will be every week from here on out.
I know I'm a little behind on the records. I think, was Nick leading this year so far?
Nick has probably not done the math, I would bet.
Hey, now. So, Mike got two games on me last week. And since I had a double win a couple of weeks ago, I'm now 11-3, but he's 11-2. So, he's up by half a game.
Better winning percentage. Yeah, for sure.
Hold on. I'm 11. You're right. I did not do the math right. But you are up by half a game. I do know that. I just got to get the numbers right.
Okay. All right. So Guy's going to pick our games for us. Guy's also going to go in and pick with us. Go ahead. Take it away. It's all you.
Okay. So the first game we've got off the top is a good little West Texas matchup between a program that's kind of had it rolling the last couple of years and a program that's kind of on the rise here. So we've got Amarillo Tascosa taking on a crosstown matchup with the boys from Palo Duro with Eric Mims, what he's trying to do there. So I don't know what y'all's thoughts are on that, but I thought that was a little bit of a fun matchup to start things off.
Certainly a fun matchup. I'm going to go ahead and make my pick here. Certainly a fun matchup. Coach Mims, when he was at Duncanville, I knew him well. He was part of that Jaquindon Jackson, that magic, that offense. He was the guy calling it. So I do have a lot of faith in Coach Mims, but man, Tascosa is just a machine at this point. And Palo Duro, like you said, is just on the rise. So I got to go with Tascosa, and I would say they roll fairly big in this one.
Yeah, Tascosa runs that wing T almost to a T, no pun intended. Major Everhart has been doing really good stuff so far this season. He's going to be really hard to stop. Also, Major Everhart took an official visit to Notre Dame last week, which I think really kind of swayed things in his recruitment. If you keep track of just kids in the state of Texas, that's definitely been one that's been interesting. Not necessarily that Texas has been involved, but that's definitely been an interesting recruitment. But I'm going to take Tascosa as well.
Nick's seen Tascosa this year, so like you have a better idea of them than I do, but they seem, I don't know. I mean, they seem just as strong as they always are, especially with when you throw in Everhart and what's the kid? Avian Carter.
Avian Carter.
Yeah, some big names in that one.
Yeah, so I'll give y'all my pick. I think if you wanted to get kind of trendy and get fun with it, you'd go with Palo Duro, who I think is like 3-1 at this point or something like that. And I think I like the Mims story because he's a Don himself, and I think multiple generational guy. But I think the easy pick and the smarter pick is to go with Major Everhart and Tascosa, and that's what I'll do. Elite speed and just a guy that I've become a really big fan of the last couple of years. So I'll go with Tascosa too.
All right.
Which moves us on to our next game. We're going to go down to Harris County for Nick here.
In a game I'll be at. Or no, I'm sorry, you're going to Harris County. I thought you were going in order of the textures in this. My bad.
So Galena Park North Shore and Beaumont Westbrook is next on tap here. What do y'all think?
So it's actually not being played in Harris County. It's going to be played in Westbrook in Beaumont. I was originally supposed to be at this game before Bryce Anderson committed to A&M. I canceled the trip. Nick, I got to ask you before I make my pick, did Denver Harris give you an indication last week that he would be back for this game, or do we think he's still out?
He will not. He's getting an evaluation on his knee at the end of the month, and at that point he'll be determined if he'll be able to come back. I think best case scenario, you're looking at mid-October.
No Chris Ross either, right?
Chris Ross is kind of a week-to-week basis. He has a minor ankle injury. Honestly, not sure of his status this week. I would put it as questionable.
Man. Here's what my read on North Shore is, just from seeing their early scores and seeing them in the spring. They're still dynamite on defense and have no – they've lost a ton on offense. They don't have a lot to hang their hat on in offense. I think at home, I think I'm going to go with the Bruins in this one and pick Westbrook.
Wow, that's a little crazy. I can't go that crazy. I'm going to go North Shore. I saw North Shore last week, and we'll get into that here in a bit. Their defense is actually not as good as it's been in recent years. They gave up 34, 35 points to Klein Oak last week, and Klein Oak was kind of having their way. That being said, I don't know what it is, but the North Shore offense just finds ways to score. Somebody was asking me after the game, what were some offensive guys that really stood out? They scored 58 points, and I was like, not many. There was a running back, a 2022 running back. He's about 5'9". His name's Xavier Owens Jr. He's a lot of fun, but he's not a college level type kid. They also have a 23 running back that comes in and gets some solid snaps. I think he'll be a power five type guy before it's all said and done. I don't trust in Westbrook enough here to take them over North Shore. I think the Mustangs still pull it out.
Yeah, so mine's going to come down to continuity with coaching. So because of the turnover with coaching at Westbrook with Chuck Langston taking over, I'm probably going to roll with North Shore here because of John Kay. I feel like maybe this North Shore team doesn't have near the superstar power that maybe the past couple teams have. But with that said, they still have some of the more top-end talent probably in the state. Because of the continuity with Coach Kay and what he's been able to build there, I think for me, even though it's on the road, I'm going to roll with the Mustangs too and just kind of keep it chalk.
Yeah, see, I just wanted to stay away from the chalk at this point. Like, I got to get frisky on one of these picks, and I think this is going to be the one. Guy, I think we decided, by the way, that each week you could pick a game that had double potential, and we could choose if we wanted to double down on it. Do you have a game out of this mix? Are either of the first two games, would you put a double on, or would you wait to hold those for the other ones?
I think I'm going to wait till one of our small school games. So I picked three big school, two small school. And I think okay. I maybe have that one ready for one of the small school games that we'll get to.
All right. What's our next game?
With that said, we do have one more big school game with a game that you're actually going to be at, Mike, I believe Friday night.
True.
With the Chaparrals of Austin Westlake taking on Del Valle, their crosstown. Is this a district game? Remind me on that. Or is this non-district still?
It is a district opener.
Okay. So, yeah, give me your thoughts.
Look, man, I say it all the time. You don't get rich betting against Bama. You don't get rich betting against, you know, a lot of teams in the state. Westlake at the top of that list. Del Valle is a team that we've talked about this a ton. They've got a lot of talent year in and year out, and yet don't always play up to that level. I think I'm interested to see kind of how they look under this new direction with Bobby Acosta. I love Braylon James. I'm really excited to see him live. But Westlake is a wagon, the definition of a wagon, to use a hockey term on you guys. So I got to go with the Chaps here. They're too powerful.
Yeah, I got to agree. I'm taking Westlake by probably 30. I think Westlake wins this one really big. Their offense is just a machine, and their defense is really good. They lost a couple key pieces from that defense from last year's state championship team, but it doesn't really look like it's affected them so far. I'm going to go Westlake as well in an overwhelming win.
Okay, so I saw Westlake a couple of weeks ago against Euless Trinity, and at the time that was probably even more of a Trinity game than what this one's going to be.
Yeah.
And that game was over by halftime in Westlake's favor. Cade was fantastic that night. Offensive line was really good. Their defense, while it doesn't have maybe any like superstar quality type names, just plays really good football. Obviously, well coached, one of the best DCs in the state. And with it being at Westlake, I don't know. That just seems like an easy pick for the Chaps. So
it's actually
is it at Del Valle?
It's at Del Valle. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure that makes a difference. no offense to those guys, but I'm going to roll with Westlake here. I think they're the best team in the state right now, pound for pound, and I think it's just an easy pick.
Good call.
Okay, so now we're on to the, I guess what you would call small school games, down to the 4A level. First, we're going to go to 4A D2 here with Carthage-Gilmer, which was a state championship game a year ago, and obviously two programs that know each other well out in Beast, Texas. No love lost. What's y'all's thoughts there?
Okay. What I just said for Westlake, you don't get rich betting against Westlake. Double, triple, quadruple that for Carthage. The dog pound, baby. In the words of the great Gabe Brooks, Gilmer's got talent, but man, Carthage is Carthage. Carthage will remain Carthage until somebody beats them. They hung 70 on Gilmer in the state title game. I'll take Carthage.
I think this one's going to be a lot closer than people anticipate. And I'm kind of going back and forth on it, honestly. Carthage didn't look great against Crosby week one. Granted, they were playing up a division or a couple of divisions actually. But with this being in Carthage and, you know, Carthage being on the roll they've been on the last decade plus, I'm going to go ahead and take the Bulldogs, but I think it's going to be a close game.
Yeah, so I think, you know, Carthage is one of those teams where pound for pound, they're just so above everybody else in their weight class. Just kind of going with what Mike said there. And until someone really shows, like, consistent signs of knocking them off, I just find it hard to pick against them. So I think it's one of those games where in warm-ups it seems fun. It's two teams that know each other well, and it'll probably be a little chippy. But guys like Kip Lewis and Montrell Hatton have become some of my favorite players. And Kip was a guy that Mike kind of pointed out to me at State last year. And just to kind of see his rise and his recruitment move along has been fun. So I think it's Carthage, easy pick again. But I think we're going to have some fun with this last game here.
Ogpam,
which is Waco La Vega and Corpus Christi Miller, which I think our good friend Matt Stepp will be at on Saturday, I believe.
So we're making this the double potential game. We can double.
I think so. I think this is a fun one. It's number 7 in the state versus number 10 in the state. So there's a little bit of importance here, and the two programs are kind of similar of each other as well.
Oh, I'm not sure this one has any major prospects in it, but two teams that that always seem to really you know, be there at the end and be big time teams. I don't think I'm going to double this one. I just don't feel good enough about knowing either team as well as I'd like to, especially, you know, if you cover football mainly in Dallas and sometimes in Houston, Corpus Christi feels like a world away. I'm going to have to go with who I feel more comfortable knowing, and I think that's La Vega. So I'm going to roll La Vega.
See, I'm also going to pick La Vega, but I feel a little bit slighted just because he doesn't know enough about Corpus Christi Miller to make an educated guess here. I'm just getting at him.
Please, please educate me, Nick.
There is a 2023 wide receiver at Corpus Christi Miller that I think everybody should be keeping an eye on, Lonnie Adkism. He blew up last year, led the state in receiving yards with 1750, 20 touchdowns on 88 receptions. This kid is lightning in a bottle. He's a lot of fun. I think he's going to give the La Vega defense a lot of issues. That being said, La Vega has had a gauntlet of non-district games. They started the season with a win, then they came back and played Austin, LBJ, and Argyle back-to-back, which are two of the best teams in 4A D1. And then now Corpus Christi Miller, which is one of the best teams in 4A D1 as well. But they looked really good against Argyle last week despite losing the game. I think they go down to the Coastal Bend and come out with a victory.
Hold on. I need to address the slander before we move on. I absolutely knew who that kid was, and he may one day get there, but right now he has one offer from UTSA. So I stand by my statement that there aren't many major prospects in this game.
Right. You're right.
Nick getting a little bit ahead of his skis there. That's typically what these young guys do a little bit, Mike.
It's a Nick move. Totally a Nick move.
You know. Yeah. Okay, so I think this is a little bit of a fun game, and this is where I'm going to try to separate myself a little bit since I got to catch up here. I'm going to roll with the Bucks, and it's simply because I can't get a read on Don Hyde's team yet at La Vega. Now, he is a team that's a little bit like Longview, a little bit maybe like Highland Park, even, that they're not finished products early on in the season. They typically get better as the playoffs come along, and that's when their magic kind of shows. But the first 2 weeks they dominated. Then they had what was a good loss against LBJ, and you got to think there's a lot of good momentum around the Jaguars down in Austin, and so maybe it's their year. But then they go and they really fight hard against a really good Argyle team, which I did not expect. So I don't really know what La Vega team you get from week to week yet. Maybe that's just because they're not a finished product yet. But I'm actually going to bet against them this time and go with, I guess, what is somewhat of a small upset. And Corpus Christi Miller being number 10, knocking off number 17 in the state. So I'm going to go with the Bucks.
All right, Guy, you want to hang with us while we talk about our where we went last week and where we're headed this week, and we can hear your schedule as well?
Yeah, sure. I'd love to.
All right, Nick, take it away. Where were your games last week?
Right before we dive into it, I did do the math. I'm at 13-3. You were at 13-2, Mike.
Okay.
Last week on Thursday, where was I last Thursday? Last Friday, I know I went down to Harris County to see Galena Park North Shore and Klein Oak. Mainly went to see Chris Ross. And, you know, I walk up to the stadium, and he's in a boot, and he's not playing. So him and Denver Harris were inactive for that game. And I touched on a little bit earlier about, you know, things I saw with the North Shore offense and whatnot. And, you know, I think North Shore is a team that could probably still make it 2-3 rounds deep this year, but I don't think they're North Shore team. They're a North Shore team that we've seen in the past. That being said, Klein Oak 2023 quarterback P.J. Hatter, hold on, Mike has a timeout. He's gonna
go ahead and finish, and then as soon as you're done with this game, I will interject.
Okay. PJ Hatter, 2023 quarterback. He was somebody that really impressed me. He's a left-handed quarterback that throws really nice balls. You know, I think he's somebody that I think could generate some FCS attention, maybe even some Group of Five attention. That's someone I'm keeping an eye on moving forward. And then aside from that, also 2023 athlete Caleb Black for Klein Oak. You know, that's a kid that's starting to get a little bit of Power Five buzz. You know, I think that's someone that can end up at a low tier Power Five school. You also had Joshua Wiggins, Colorado commit at corner for Klein Oak. That was somebody I really liked throughout the day. So, you know, Klein Oak has a ton of athletes, you know, that are really fun individually. And I was really excited to see those guys. And then talking to, you know, the two guys after the game with Texas implications, we could start with Chris Ross. You know, since he's committed, there's been a lot of defensive line commits. That's, you know, no secret to anybody. You know, he's kind of embracing that challenge. He's excited to meet those guys and compete with them. You know, I think Bo Davis has communicated that to him quite well. So, you know, I don't have any worries about Chris Ross there. And then talking about Denver Harris, today he wanted to make a commitment actually on his birthday, September 22nd here on Wednesday. Obviously that did not happen. He told me that last Friday that it probably was not going to happen. You know, he's keeping an eye on four schools, LSU, Alabama, Texas A&M and Texas. You know, he still talks to Texas quite a bit. Actually, Terry Joseph and Steve Sarkisian have really built a strong relationship with him. It wouldn't be surprised to see him get back on campus or to the Texas OU game later this year. So that's definitely going to be one I keep an eye on. And then on Thursday, I went out to Tyler.
No.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
This is what I wanted to interject. So you did you did remember there, but I was going to chide you because Nick is a man that wears many hats. He has many allegiances. He's either a Rockwall fan or a Rockwall Heath fan, depending on the week. But as Nick will always remind you, he is from Tyler. He is from East Texas. And Nick forgot that he went to Tyler last week.
With me.
With Guy.
That's the thing is, with me and his roommate Colin. I'm a little offended by this.
In the spot that I was supposed to take. Now, I will say, I will defend Nick and say Nick is like notoriously bad with short-term memory.
Yeah.
Like he's awful. Sometimes he'll talk to a kid at a game and I'll call him after the game and be like, what did the kid say? And he's like, I forgot. I'll just send you the audio. So I'll give him an excuse for that. But Nick, you forgot the motherland.
Yeah, I know. It did slip my mind a little bit. That was a long night and Colin's over here shaking his head. But we did go out to Tyler to see Allen and Tyler Legacy. We'll start with five-star defensive lineman David Hicks for Allen. You know, this is a kid who rose big time in our rankings update here recently. I believe he's now the number three overall prospect in the country, which is very deserving. We're all big David Hicks fans on this podcast. But it doesn't look like necessarily that Texas is, you know, one of the front runners at this point. That being said, he says he talks to Coach Bo Davis and Steve Sarkisian quite a bit. You know, that's a place he still wants to visit. There's a lot of things still to shake out in his recruitment. But, you know, as it looks right now, I like where Texas A&M and Clemson are sitting especially. And looking at some other guys in the game, we can talk about Nato Umeazulu, the 2022 four-star offensive lineman. You know, he's a kid of a few words, but the few words he does say kind of indicates that Texas, USC, Florida, and Oklahoma, those are the schools that, you know, are really standing out for him right now. You know, maybe USC, Texas, Oklahoma. Honestly, you could point to all four schools having some sort of an edge in one way or another, just based on, you know, the kind of kid that Nato is. So, you know, this is definitely going to be a recruitment we're watching closely moving forward. Also, Jordan Renaud, four-star 2023 defensive lineman for Tyler Legacy. You know, he talks to Texas quite a bit. Actually, went back on the audio today and, you know, was really impressed with the job that Texas has actually been able to do in such a short time with him. You know, kind of based on, you know, the move from Jordan Renaud from Florida to Texas over the summer and then from Louisville to Tyler Legacy, you know, later in the summer. So that's definitely going to be a recruitment to keep an eye on. And then talking about Texas commit Jamarian Miller, 2022 four-star running back. Talked to him after the game, and, you know, he talks to Stan Drayton and Steve Sarkisian quite a bit. This is a kid who probably will not be an early enrollee. That being said, he's looking forward to coming in and being healthy day one and getting after it in the classroom and, you know, in the weight room with the guys next summer. So I did ask him if he was looking forward to taking any visits this fall, whether it be at Texas or any other schools. He said he didn't have anything planned as of now, but we'll be sure to keep an eye on that moving forward. But that was it for last week for me.
All right, Nick, we'll forgive you there. What do you got on tap for this week?
This week, tomorrow, as we're recording on Wednesday, tomorrow on Thursday, I will be heading down to beautiful Killeen, Texas, to see Killeen Ellison and Harker Heights. May not be the best game I see all year, but that being said, 2023 offensive lineman Jaden Chapman was somebody that was offered last week by the Texas staff at the Texas game, I believe, or before the game. He was somebody that visited last week. and met with Steve Sarkisian and Kyle Flood, and they went ahead and gave him his first offer. He's a big body on the offensive line. Obviously, they've seen from him early in the season. So, you know, I'm excited to go lay my eyes on him and see how he is. And then on Friday, I'm heading down, heading not too far from my place here in Louisville to go see Flower Mound of Flower Mound Marcus. Flower Mound led by Florida commit Nick Evers at quarterback. And then Flower Mound Marcus led by 2023 four-star wide receiver Ashton Cozart, 2024 quarterback Cole Welliver, who isn't starting this year, but is still getting quite a bit of reps. You know, those are some guys I'm really looking forward to seeing, and I think it'll be a really good crosstown matchup.
And let me interject real quick. I want you to get eyes on a certain kid over at Harker Heights, Nick, Rashawn Sanford II.
Yes, absolutely. The 23 running back.
Yes, he's a little bit of like a scat, you know, gadget type back. Size might be a little bit of an issue of him really breaking through to the P5 ceiling, but or plateau. But it seems like he's starting to get some attention from schools like Houston and stuff like that. He's really put together a really good resume so far to start this season, his junior year campaign. And I believe he's helped, you know, get Harker Heights to maybe their best start in school history, which is about 16 years or so. So that's pretty impressive on his part.
All right. I would also say, I think Colleen Ellison is home to, I can't ever remember which Colleen school, Brendan Betts, who visited Texas over the summer, is a guy that I think is a very intriguing. Keep an eye on this kid. He is a big body defensive lineman who tore the camp scene up this summer. So is a guy that could develop. I did not go to a Thursday game. I had some personal stuff to take care of last week. It's why we didn't record. That's on me. I had to cancel my game. But Friday, Guy and I went down to I was going to say the South Side, but Guy would probably chide me for calling DeSoto the South Side. I guess it just depends on where you are. It's south of something, right?
So it's, the southern sector of Dallas, I-20 corridor.
We were on the I-20 corridor for the big DeSoto-Duncanville matchup. Nick, a game we picked last year, or last week, I mean. Hey, Guy, what did I tell you, 10 minutes into the game when DeSoto was up 14-0? I was basically resigning that one to a loss on the pick.
Yes. I believe so. But then, well, remind me who you had in that game, though.
I had Duncanville. And then right. I think I took, yeah. We showed up there, and Amaria Boer is out with injury. Lontrell Turner is out. Madison's out. And I'm like, man, if I'd have known all this, I might have picked differently. Yes. Going in the first 10 minutes of that game, it looked like I was going to be way wrong. And DeSoto jumps out to a 14-0 lead. Duncanville comes roaring back. I think they scored. Mm-hmm. I think they basically outscored them 41-7 for the rest of the game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think DeSoto could hardly get a first down from about the second quarter on. I think they scored on their three last touches of the ball to end the first half. And from there, it was pretty much game. And you can explain from there. But,
The best part of the game was Colin Simmons, the 2024 Duncanville edge guy that we really liked coming into it. We talked about him back in the spring when I went to the Duncanville spring game. Was incredible and a big part of that. He had a couple sacks. He had a bunch of tackles. He had a bunch of pressures. He recovered a fumble, and he tipped a pass that was intercepted and returned for a touchdown. So a big-time performance. There were a lot of college coaches there, including Texas assistants Jeff Banks and Kyle Flood. No surprise, Colin Simmons got his offer from Texas this week. So it was a lot of fun. What's up,
Nick? Another thing to add, on Thursday, Steve Sarkisian and Pete Kwiatkowski were on hand for the Tyler Legacy and Allen game. Kind of a pleasant surprise. They were there mainly, I'm sure, to see Pete Kwiatkowski more so to see David Hicks and Jordan Renaud. But, you know, having a commit in that game, it made a lot of sense for those two guys to be there.
It's fun to see these college coaches out because we didn't get it last year. And Herman's staff was kind of against it unless it was a bye week. I can remember one year, if I'm the head coach at Texas, the Friday night of Texas OU, every coach on my staff would be out at a game in Dallas if it were up to me, right? I mean, you would think, let's get these guys all out everywhere. And they never did it. And I would ask somebody on staff, and they were just like, well, we got meetings. And I'm like, man, figure out a meeting time sometime, some other time. You've got an opportunity in a place that you're not recruiting lights out in to really hit the pavement and be out here. You know, the Oklahoma, I can remember seeing Oklahoma coaches at those games and thinking, well, they're, you know, their guys are here. So it's kind of a bad look for Texas not to be. So they're finding ways to get out on the road, even on game weekends. And I commend them for that. All right, Guy, let's start with you. What's your schedule for the upcoming week?
Yeah, so starting tomorrow night, I'm joining the Dave Campbell's crew, or a good majority of them anyway, over at Mesquite Memorial. I think Colin will also be with me. So West Mesquite is hosting Longview. Be my second chance to get eyes on Jalen Hale this season, and maybe a little bit better game to get eyes on him for. You know, Longview struggled to move the ball past a certain point against Denton Ryan in week one, so gives me another chance to see him, and then maybe if anybody else catches my eye as well. Devian Isaac is a linebacker that I really like at Longview. Not sure he's a power five type guy, but he might be a guy that's a late eval for maybe like a G5 spot. So I get to see that tomorrow. And obviously Mesquite Memorial is just such a great place to go to. They treat you well, they feed you well, and it's just a good place to watch a football game.
I was going to say, can we talk about the greatness of Mesquite Memorial for a minute? The people, you may hear me on Twitter complaining about certain ISDs. You will never hear me say a crossword about the good people at Mesquite ISD. They treat you like royalty.
We want to do a really quick top three of best venues in the state.
We can do that, or maybe ISDs.
I mean, well, yeah, because like I would almost characterize Memorial and Hamby like equal. Like they treat you as well at both.
Yeah,
you know, I you mean like best as in like the best for covering a game, like how they treat you, or best like coolest stadium
experience, food, stadium, press box, the whole nine yards.
It's hard. Yeah, it's hard to beat Mesquite for me. I mean, I think all in all, it's got to be probably number one, and it would replace Mansfield ISD. Vernon Newsom is probably like my favorite stadium to watch a game in. I just think the sight lines are great. The setup of – I love any stadium where you can go from the press box in an elevator to a tunnel directly onto the field and not have to walk down steps or navigate whatever. That's a big thing in Newsom's, but Newsom has gotten a little more difficult over the past couple of years. And while they do feed you well, it's not Mesquite ISD well. So I got to go Mesquite one. I haven't been to a game there in forever, but Southlake in the back of the day would have been number two probably for me. And then
what about DeSoto? We don't really ever get fed there. But it's the easiness in that we can just call up Coach Sweeney, their recruiting coordinator and receiver coach.
Get on the list.
In a moment's notice. I mean, I remember last year I called him 2 hours or it was the afternoon of a game. I do know that. And he got me on it. That doesn't happen anywhere else in the state.
You know? Yeah, I think I got to throw DeSoto on three for that.
I'm going to have Mesquite in mind, DeSoto probably in mind. And then Georgetown ISD is also a really good one. Every time I go down to Georgetown, I have a great time. They always treat me well. I try to find a reason to go there every year. Probably won't be able to this year, but that's another one I really like. There was a couple of years ago, I went in late October, and they had a German night, and they had some beef bratwurst. If you know me, I don't eat pork, so it was literally heaven to me. I was having a great time. They had their culinary students whipping it up, and it tasted like I was in Germany while covering a Georgetown versus Pflugerville Connolly game. It was fantastic.
Guy, do you want to go Mesquite? You want to go Duncanville or DeSoto, and who else?
Yeah, I'm trying to think from a hospitality standpoint. I've never really had the Southlake experience you've had. That's not saying anything bad about Southlake. I just, you know, I went to games there back then, but never was fed or anything like that. So.
Waxahachie, by the way, is an extremely
Waxahachie is a well-known spot.
It's an underrated experience.
I'll give you one. It's similar to Waxahachie, Longview.
Yeah,
it's a similar type deal. It's a buffet spread at halftime, or really anytime you want to go back there. You can go back at, you know, seconds and thirds, eat as much as you want. Never really spent a game in the press box there, but I like going there. There's plenty of space with the track. It's a cool venue. They really obviously care about their football there, being that they are Longview in East Texas, and they just travel differently. So home games. They're coming. So I let's throw Longview on there just to find a way to put them on the list.
Now let's go bottom three. Bottom three: Highlander, Wilkerson, and Frisco ISD.
With our Irving
school. Just kidding. I've never, guy, we don't insult the IHOP like that. I've actually never covered a game at Highlander. I've covered one at Wilk, and we all know my thoughts on Frisco. So, all right, guy, what do you got Friday?
Yeah, so Friday, I'm going to go see Texarkana Liberty ILU play Waxahachie Life at Life School.
Sounds like a wild time.
Yeah, you know, it's a little bit of a quieter Friday, but our good friend Earl Gill just took a job there at Liberty ILU, and he contacted me a couple weeks ago. And there was a couple kids I've actually been interested in seeing again that one of our good friends, Coach O, and I saw last year in Jefferson when we went on the East Texas trip together. Some of those kids have graduated. Some of them have transferred to other schools, but a couple of them are still around. One of them being Tracy Revels, who I think just got an invite to head down to Austin on Saturday for a visit of some sort. So he's a 2023 safety that has gotten some attention as of late, was a guy that we actually found last year. So I'd like to see him 12 months later and kind of see what's progressed and what's up with him and what his story is currently. So I told Earl I'd come by. He wants me to hop on the radio show for Liberty ILU, and instead of me having to drive all the way to Northeast Texas, they'll be in my backyard, which is nice.
Okay. All right. I've got Friday only game. I'm going out to Austin this weekend. I'm going Thursday tomorrow. And taking a bit of a family trip, mixing in a little work, a little pleasure. Me and my dad and my brother are going to go down, and I'm going to introduce them to some high school football, and then we're going to go see Texas on Saturday. So Friday night, as we mentioned previously, I will be at Del Valle and Westlake in Del Valle. And yeah, that's pretty much it. We're going to go see Braylon James for Del Valle, and then Connor Robertson, TJ Shanahan, Kate Klubnik, a ton of guys for Westlake, obviously. So looking forward to that. All right, guy, let's make this a weekly thing.
Yeah, well, and I guess another thing is you'll be joining me on Saturday. True. I know I'm Baylor Fraz on here, but I'm actually a Texas guy at heart. That's more being tongue in cheek. But I guess Mike will be joining me. And that'll be fun to catch a Texas game with. You'll be sitting in my little season ticket spot, and looking forward to 11 a.m. on Saturday.
Don't tell them where. We'll have a host of fans swarming you on the first quarter.
That's true. Yes. We cannot give away the location.
We will keep that to ourselves.
All right, guy. Well, thanks for jumping on, and we will talk to you later.
Yeah, thanks, fellas. Appreciate it.
All right. All right, Nick, before we move on to the mailbag, you've got a basketball update, so go at it.
Yeah, just really quick, five-star small forward Jordan Walsh from Branson, Linkier Prep in Missouri took an official visit to Texas this past weekend. He's originally from Cedar Hill. He's originally from the Dallas area. This is a recruit that Texas really started to turn the heat up on as the live evaluation periods got underway in late June and early July. This is someone I think had a fantastic offseason with Drive Nation, the AAU team based out of here in Dallas. This is someone that the Texas staff is really keying in on now that they are, focusing on specific prospects. And from all early indications point to Jordan Walsh having a fantastic time in Austin on Friday night. They went to a little baby concert, had a great time there with the staff and a couple of the players. On Saturday, went to the Rice game, had a fantastic time. There were some fans even that had, talked to Jordan and had noticed him, and that was really cool for him and his family. And then Sunday, they had a photo shoot and everything. And, from what I can tell, Texas and Arkansas are really going to be battling it out for this recruitment. Eric Musselman, the head coach over at Arkansas, has done a really good job himself. They had a really good official visit last month, I believe. Can't count out the Razorbacks here. He'll be taking an official visit to Kansas to finish things off here at the end of the month. And then it'll probably be decision time. Stay tuned to Horns 24/7. We'll have an update after his Kansas visit to kind of see where things are and, where things could be going moving forward. But, this is definitely a recruit that I'm keeping a very close eye on for, potential to join the class. But again, Arkansas is going to be a huge threat here. I think it's going to be a really fun battle here down the stretch.
All right, let's go to the mailbag to finish the show off. As always, you can get your questions to us if you're on the Hornets 24/7 message board. Whenever we put the thread up, get them in there. All right, our first question comes to us from Longhorns Forever 85. Out of Evan Stewart, Denver Harris, or Brennan Thompson, who does Texas have the best shot at landing? Yeah, that's something we didn't talk about, Nick. So I totally forgot that. We can definitely hit on it here, and I'll let you do it because you've got the majority of the scoop on it. But based just off what we heard last week, I mean, I've got to go right now with our best chances with Brennan Thompson. So, Nick, talk a little bit. I ask the listeners' forgiveness for us not covering this earlier in the show. But go ahead and cover that Brennan Thompson visit and give us your answer.
Yeah, Brennan Thompson took his official visit to Texas this past weekend. It'll be his last official visit before making his decision. He took an unofficial visit to Oklahoma State to begin the season, and he'll take another unofficial visit to Texas A&M on October 8th for their game against Alabama. And then it'll be decision time for him between those three schools. But from talking to Brennan and talking to his mom over the week, it really sounded like the Texas hit a home run here. That being said, you know, this is going to be close. This is going to be a close race, but Texas did everything that they needed to do this week, I believe, to, remain a legit contender to land his commitment. And as I said on Hornets 24/7 throughout the week, I feel cautiously confident in my crystal ball right now. The family was able to connect with Steve Sarkisian and his family really well. L'Oreal Sarkisian, which Mike talked about earlier this week on the site, and I mentioned it as well on the Brennan update. You know, that's someone that I think could really, you know, be a big tool moving forward in recruiting is L'Oreal Sarkisian. She's just very kind-hearted from what we can tell. And, families really, attract to her, and she's been fantastic early on in making them feel at home. So, that was big. And the Brennan Thompson official visit, he at halftime, I think this is really interesting, at halftime of the Rice game, they brought in Jordan Shipley to talk to Brennan. And they sat down and talked for well into the third quarter, actually, just about how Jordan Shipley was able to transition from being a small town kid from Burnett and originally from Abilene and coming to Texas and still being able to do what he wanted to do, which was, a lot of outdoors stuff, which is who Brennan Thompson is. Brennan Thompson is not somebody who watches football on Saturdays and Sundays or, is watching Netflix or playing video games throughout the week. He's somebody that's going out and would rather, shoot some cans and, when it's dove season, shoot some birds and go fishing and whatnot. And, he's just a West Texas kid at heart. He was a little bit worried about how he'd be able to do that in the city of Austin. And that was a question I know he had going in. But coming out, he said that is no longer a question. And that's something that has been solved for him. And he knows he'll have the opportunity to do stuff like that in the city of Austin. So I think that was really big for the Texas staff to be able to capitalize on, because at the end of the day, Brennan Thompson just wants to be happy as any kid should. And I think that's going to be a big determining factor for him. But, going back to the question out of Stewart Harris or Brennan Thompson, who do I think that Texas has the best chance at landing? I think it is Brennan Thompson. I think it goes probably Thompson, Stewart Harris. There's still one more unofficial visit to play out. And then it's going to be decision time for him. And, as things stand right now, I think Texas still has a pretty good shot.
I just want to touch on that L'Oreal Sarkisian point. I'm working on a project where I've been talking to a lot of former players and a lot of them from the Mack Brown era. And when you hear them talk about Sally Brown, it's different. It's like, one of them told me, you go on the official visit, you meet with your position coach, you meet with your host, you go to dinner the next day, and Mac tries to reel you in, but Sally closes the deal. Another one told me when they committed, they actually called Sally and told her first. And so I think it's an underrated aspect, but when you have a strong coach's wife that kind of engenders that mother of the program type thing, it could be a very kind of underrated weapon in recruiting. So it was good of you to highlight that, Nick. All right, from Horns Fan 247, are the Horns recruiting any top 2023 linebackers? Yes, quite a few. If you go up to the tab, the football recruiting tab on our website, and go to offers, you can see all the guys they've offered, but there are quite a few. I mean, if you're talking in-state, you've got Anthony Hill, who is one of the top guys in the country. If you're talking out-of-state, you have Tasili Akana and Leona Lafau and Leviticus Sua. There's a lot of guys. I'm not going to sit here and name them all, but yes, they are in on quite a few.
Yeah, absolutely. You touched on Leona Lafau, the linebacker out of Hawaii, as well as Cecilia Kana, the linebacker who was originally out of Hawaii at the same school as Leona, but is now playing in Utah now. You know, those are two kids that came in separately for a camp this past summer, and two kids that really liked Texas from what they saw early on. That's two guys that the staff really liked early on. You mentioned Anthony Hill as well. You know, that's going to be one of the most, you know, recruited kids in the entire country. But early on, Texas is doing what, you know, they need to do to, you know, kind of stay in that race. And then also Darian Gullett, that's kind of a kid that is more of an edge guy, but I think he could be a linebacker at the next level. Texas is probably the front runner for him right now, I would say so. They were the first school to call him at midnight on September 1st. Chris Gilbert was the one who made that phone call. And obviously Marlon has the 2022 four-star commit Jarae Bledsoe there, and there's some Texas ties to the program. Darian Gullett will be another one to keep an eye on.
All right, I'm just going to hit this one real quick. I don't know if there's a lot to expand on, but FC underscore Horn in Kansas. I wonder why they would ask this question, but then I see the name. Any noise on or interest in prospects from Kansas? Dylan Edwards from Derby is a stud, and his dad played with Coleman at Kansas State. Haven't heard a ton of them recruiting Kansas. Kansas isn't the most fertile recruiting ground, so I kind of get it, but no, haven't heard a ton there. From Hook'em 777, our D-line class seems to be a pretty solid group with talent and depth. What do you attribute that success to with that class? I think Bo Davis came in with a rep of a strong recruiter. That's there. I think that there's opportunity to play soon. I think that going to the SEC meshes more with frontline guys who are looking at options. I think there's a lot of things in play there. They've seemed to hit kind of the perfect storm. The relationships are clicking. And so I don't know that it's any one thing I can attribute to, but it's certainly worked out for them.
Yeah, for sure. I do want to touch on the last question just really quick. Avery Johnson is a 2023 quarterback that's being recruited by TCU right now. And if Texas misses out on Arch Manning, then, you know, they're going to kind of look all over the place for, you know, their next option. Avery Johnson is possibly somebody from Mays, Kansas. But going to this D-line question, you know, Bo Davis brought an NFL pedigree to Texas whenever he was hired from the Detroit Lions. That's something that's really interesting to recruits, you know, who obviously want to go and make that next level of the NFL. But also, like you said, having the opportunity to possibly play early, there's a lot of opportunity there at Texas to do that. You know, just a really strong recruiting pitch all around from, you know, Bo Davis, Brandon Harris, Steve Sarkisian, Pete Witkowski, whatever. You know, and those guys want to compete with each other and learn with each other.
Okay, from Adam PH 38, out of Jahleel Skinner's top five, rank the teams 1 through 5 on the chances with him. I would say it's coming down to this. So the top five is Alabama, Texas, Clemson,
Florida State,
Miami. Pretty sure that was it. I don't even think Florida State's in it anymore. I think you'd probably replace Florida State with Florida. And I'm not sure Florida was that in it. So I think it really comes down to this. I'm not sure how hard Clemson's pushing at the moment. And I don't think Miami is going to finish the deal. I think it really comes down to Texas and Alabama. That's what it seems like right now. That's what everybody I talk to feels where it comes down. So I would probably rank them Texas 1A and Bama 1B or however you want to do it.
Yeah, rely on Mike for the scoop there. But, you know, coming down to Texas and Alabama, you know, I think this is a recruitment that a lot of fans should be paying a lot of attention to. I think it's going to be a close battle between those two schools, and Texas definitely has a shot.
HD Forever, thoughts on James and Tommy Brockmeyer? Oh, I thought we'd never hear those names in the mailbag again. Did they choose Alabama over Texas due to their ability to develop NFL linemen? If I'm not mistaken, Flood was at Bama recruiting those two, but now at Texas. This seems ambiguous because Flood was the coach who developed linemen in the past for the Tide, but neither Tommy or James left Alabama for Texas, choosing to follow Flood. My only other thought on this was Herman was somewhat alienated those kids coming to Texas. Yeah, I think we've talked about the situation openly a lot. First of all, for anybody who, yes, Flood was definitely involved in developing those guys, but the program at Bama, I think, is more what caught their eye than anything. Just the overall power of Nick Saban's program. Even if they were dedicated to Flood, I think that any thoughts that those kids would immediately go into the portal when Flood left, kind of crazy. I mean, they went there to go to Alabama and play for national championships and do all those things. And, you know, if you've ever talked to Blake, their dad, about it, he'll tell you he loved everything about his time at Texas, but his only regret was that they didn't win more. And I think that there was part of that. I do think Herman did alienate them. I think that he made a major mistake when he offered James a preferred walk-on spot early in their recruitment, the same day Iowa offered him a scholarship. And Iowa, obviously, a lot better history with offensive lines. So, yeah, a little bit of both. But I think for everybody saying, oh, Flood's here, so they should automatically flip, that's not really how that works.
Yeah, they went to Alabama for more reasons than Kyle Flood. You know, Nick Saban is still, you know, the head coach there last time I checked, and that's a big time factor as well.
From CNUT L31A, who's the next offensive line commit for this class, or top three offensive linemen to commit? Very hard to predict. When just timing wise, not sure who's going when. I'm the big guy. I will continue to say the guy I feel best about is Devon Campbell.
Yeah, agreed. I feel the same way.
From Triplet Joseph 44, other than Devon Campbell, is there another 5-star you think Texas will get? I still think I'm still bullish on their chances with Evan Stewart at this point. So I guess maybe I'll go down with that ship and die on that hill. But that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I'm going to feel the same way there with Evan Stewart. You know, Denver Harris, there's an outside shot. I feel a little bit better after talking to him last week, but I don't think Texas is the leader there by any means. So, yeah, probably Evan Stewart would be the one I'd pin to.
Okay, and our last question from Freddie Farmers. If you're Sark, what does your pitch to Evan Stewart look like right now at this point in the recruiting process? It's very simple. We've got a team. And hopefully this bears out over the season, but we could throw the ball. We can move the ball. Xavier Worthy has done some good things as a freshman, but we need more of that. We need a lot more of that. And you are that. You are a supercharged version of that. So come in, play right away, represent your home state, be featured in our offense. We already show you that we're going to make this freshman a go-to guy on our team. And, you know, you can put up all the numbers, you can go get drafted, you can make all the money you want, and you could do it in your home state. That's my pitch.
Yeah, I think they could also turn around and tell him that he could start right now tomorrow if he wanted to.
Yeah, absolutely.
A possibility with this current roster. You know, there's some receivers that have been very lackluster through the first three games that I think Evan Stewart would do miles better than. So, it is not out of the stretch of the imagination that Evan Stewart could come in and start. I think that's the biggest pitch right now.
All right. And that's going to do it for us for the mailbag. And that's going to do it for the show. As always, we thank you guys for your involvement. We hope you enjoyed the new segment with the great Guy Frazier. We thank him for joining and look forward to bringing him back next week. Nick, anything you want to add before we get out of here?
No, that's about it. Just looking forward to getting going this weekend.
All right. Conference play begins for Texas. Big visitors on campus. So we're excited to come back next week and see what happened. For Nick Harris, I'm Mike Roach. We'll see you guys next week.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.